Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find them on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Faze for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. Today's episode of the podcast is going to be another in the Deck Tech series that I've been doing kind of off and on for the last year or so. And obviously today's guest needs no introduction, but for everyone out there who hasn't heard of this luminary, I would like to reintroduce to the show Nathan the Hermit Druid. Welcome back.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome. How about you?
Oh, quite well, thank you. Just been relaxing, enjoying the day, curled up with my dog, which is fun. It's supposed to be wake up, go for a walk with dog, come home, cuddle with dog, then go for a walk with dog again, and then like hang out in park with dog, and like go for coffee with dog, and then yeah, good day.
One of those kinds of days. Yeah, sounds awesome. So yeah, Nathan, you approached me really recently about talking about your Volrath deck here, kind of as a nice break from the CDH scene here. And
yeah, because like as most like people that like, you know, play competitive or like whatnot, I also play casual. Like, you know, I've had my grievances with casual, which made me like go to CDH, but like I've like also want to like play with friends that don't play like competitive Magic and just want to hang out. Like, so like I've been like on the search for like, you know, a casual deck that doesn't make everybody like scream at me for a while, and like I've been finally in I finally landed on Volrath because I just decided to say fuck it, I'm going to play whatever the hell you guys are, and y'all can bitch about that other shit after. Which is also really fun because like when I start using like this deck against other people, it's like their deck is kind of popping off too, and they're like, wait, what? I'm like, no, this is all your shit, bro. This is all your shit.
Nice. So yeah, quickly here, let's in order to introduce the deck, let's actually introduce what Volrath does, and then we'll just kind of have you walk us through what the deck does exactly, how it gets there, and generally what your experience has been playing this deck.
My general experience, and I'll start with that one just like as a lead in, has been it's been fucking funny. Yeah. Like, okay, so like, so let's talk about Volrath. So Volrath is 5 mana, so 2 insult die. At the beginning of combat on your phase, put a -1/-1 counter on up to 1 target creature. And then for 1, colon, no tap, no anything, so this is 1, at instant speed. Which is very, very important for things that are going to come later in the conversation. This is an instant speed activation that can happen through any one of the phases, including the 5 different phases of combat. Because there's 5 different five different steps in the combat phase, and this deck will abuse those.
Okay.
Especially because you're when you're trying to copy multiple like combat triggers, and like you want to like switch at different points. You're going to be changing Volrath around to a lot of things.
Okay.
Also, it being, like, not requiring tap means that you can attack and have Volrath tapped and then, like, be able to instant speed turn Volrath into things. Like, I guess as a lead in to let you know, a fun story to let you know, what, like, what the weird shit this deck can do. I was playing... Oh, also, important to note, it says a counter. Not just a -1/-1 counter. A counter of any kind, which means it's constantly getting support from, like, new... Like, shield counters and all these new counters that come out.
Awesome.
So, like, literally just any counter. Also, you get benefits off of incidental counters. Like, playing against my buddy's Crick deck, and he cast a black spell and put a 1-1 counter on his on Crick, and all of a sudden, like, now I have a Crick? Which gets fucky. With Volrath and whatnot. So, I was playing against a buddy of mine who was playing Bruce Tarl and Kamal.
Okay.
So, he was, like, gonna kill everybody because he had, like, you know, a bajillion fucking power on the table. It was either, like, it was Beat Street, you know, population us.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to take him out. So I swing at him, Oh, so before I swing at him, I turn Volrath in the beginning of combat phase. I turn Volrath into a copy of Kamahl.
Okay, so get +3/+3. Okay, and trample.
+3 and trample. And then at the end of that step, I turn turn Volrath into a copy of Bruce Tarl.
Oh no!
Then go to the, you go to the attack phase. So attack trigger. Now Volrath gives himself double strike and lifelink.
Yep.
Then before blockers, because they had nothing in the air, I instant speed turned Volrath into their Sarah Ascendant.
Oh no.
Giving myself flying, and because I was above 30 health, a further +5/+5.
Yep. I see where that's going, yeah.
And that, yeah, so it was like +16, it was like a 16 or something, whatever. Like, either way, it was like 16, 17 power in the front, double strike, lifelink, just absolutely fucking one-shotted the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and like, also, this deck abuses the colors that it is not the most. People, like, I start playing against people that have, like, Boros decks, and I'm just like, they're like, oh, it's just my little Boros deck, and like, all of a sudden they're playing, like, a 1-1 with, like the best combat keywords in the game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to put a counter on that. And they're like, oh, why'd you put a +1/+1 counter on that? I'm like, oh, don't fucking worry. Next thing you know, like, Volrath has haste, trample, lifelink, double strike, flying, vigilance. And, like, everybody's like, no! It's just, yeah, it gets real fucking abuse. And then so you Volrath just himself, like, is an engine because he puts the counter on other things. So you can, like, there's other, like, there is, you can build a deck around it. But, like, it does a lot of heavy lifting himself. And, mm-hmm. like, it's always more fun to cast, like, Volrath does come down for, like, for 5 mana. But you always kind of want to cast it with, like, 1 mana open.
Yep.
Because you want to get that, like, immediate effect. Because you can put it on literally just anything and just, like, yeah, and start copying shit. And things get real fucking weird. And then, so the rest of the deck, you kind of, like, support it. And then also make things that you want to copy.
Okay.
Which also, like, when you get, like, you, like, playing a Consecrated Sphinx and then putting a -1/-1 counter on that and then having 2 copies of a Consecrated Sphinx on the field, things get a little fucky.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely see how that gets broken real fast. If you're able
or
to,
like, further on in the list, Sire of Stagnation, that's another one. You play that one out, put a -1/-1 counter on it, turn Volrath into a Sire of Stagnation, then every time someone plays a land, they exile the top 4 cards of their library and you draw 4.
Mm-hmm.
Every time someone draws, like, every time. Like, they crack a fetch land and it's just like, ha! Ah! Or another great one, Ancient Silver Dragon. Just having 2 of those. Or, like, it's almost like it has, like, haste as well, because you play the Ancient Silver Dragon, you go to combat, you put a -1/-1 counter on it, and then you turn Volrath into it, and then all of a sudden you rolling a d20 and have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is absurd, honestly, but I like where that's going, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess if you want to, we can run through the list. So I've got it all together on Moxfield by card category, because it helps me, like, you know, keep track of, like, the number of things that I have, because, like, some cards do multiple things, like, you know, like, for example, it's right in front of me, Arcane Denial is both card draw and stack interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why, like, I'm able to really break down the deck using Moxfield, so that's why, like, if you want to, like, it is good for that. Like, something like Biseiju, counting that under both lands and removal is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because this deck runs, like, 15 fucking pieces of removal. Which is the important thing for any clones deck. You don't really want to counter, like, you know the word blue? You don't really want to counter a lot of things, because you actually want them to resolve their shit.
Okay.
Which is very important. So this deck actually packs more Pongify, Putrefy, Rapid Hybridization, Reality Shift, Resculpt, Beast Within, Single Target Cyclonic Rifts, Assassin Trophies, more than I'm running, like, a Force of Will. Like, or any, like, I've got some stack interaction. I've only got Arcane Denial, Counterspell, and Fierce Guardianship, and they're mostly to protect Volrath.
Yep.
But the reason why is because it's a clone deck. You, like, you don't really want them to counter things. Like, I was playing a clone deck against someone in Richmond a while ago, and they were playing Tivit, or in their deck. They had Tivit in their deck, and they, like, cast Tivit, and they're like, they look at me, because they knew I had a Force of Will in hand. They're like, look at me, and they're like, oh, does the Tivit resolve? And I'm like, yeah, it resolves. I'm like, ah, cool. And they're, like, resolving it, counting out their clues, and they look up and be like, wait, you're about to copy that, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, you fucking bet. And it comes around to my turn, I drop a copy, beast within his, and then, like, gave it haste somehow and, like, you know, went to attack and got two effects. I'm like, thank you, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it, like, the stack interaction is mostly just for protection, but, like, with clone decks, it's, like, it's pretty important that you use, you keep up on permanent-based interaction rather than stack-based interaction, even though you are in blue. Because, like, you want things to resolve, and then, like, a Force of Will doesn't really do you a whole hell of a lot of fucking good when something's on the board, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that... I feel like this deck, honestly, the way you're describing it, it's... You're kind of doing some of the opposite things you would normally try to do in these colors, right? You're trying to let people have their permanents. You're trying to work around it in... You're basically interacting with the stack in very different ways than you would see with a lot of in this color combination. I guess this makes a lot more sense in my head than it actually sounds, but I definitely like how you're kind of subverting expectations here. And again, like you just mentioned, you are messing with the combat step in so many different ways. You're abusing it, honestly. And
oh yeah, I know, because yeah. Like it's one of those things where you have to look up. There's like five different steps in combat that like that you're gonna use them. Like if you're planning on abusing them, everybody's like, oh no, it's just gonna do some shit, and all of a sudden you start fucking like doing ninjutsu fucking shit all over the board. It's like it starts getting a little gross.
Mm-hmm.
Not literal ninjutsu shit. I mean like fucking what's his face from Naruto.
Yep.
Kakashi, that's the one. Fucking copy jutsu. That's what fucking Volrath does.
All right. So yeah. Let's go through some of the really cool stuff that you haven't mentioned, actually. What's some other stuff you think really works for this deck that really makes it run?
Really makes this run.
Some cool tech, honestly. I don't care.
Oh, there's some cool tech. Oh, man. Yawgmoth, Thran Physician. Like, the incidental good cards that put fucking counters on things that draw stuff. Like, oh, so fucking good. Sacrifice a creature, put a neg one counter on something at instant speed, and then you can, like, turn your draw card and then, like, turn Volrath into something.
Mm-hmm.
Hapatra, she just puts counters all over everything. Generous Patron draws a shit ton of cards. Forgotten Ancient is like a shy for yourself, and then on your upkeep you can just basically throw a 1/1 counter on the entire board and everybody's like, oh, thanks for the 1/1 counter, and then all of a sudden Volrath has become like everything on the board and then people start screaming. Lots of fun. The boring part of the deck has definitely just got to be the ramp package, because that is like your standard. You want a lot of mana for this deck. Like, a lot of mana. A ridiculous actual amount of mana. Because you want, like, at least four activations of Volrath, or five activations of Volrath a turn cycle.
Yep.
So, this deck really also, like, this deck doesn't abuse a, fucking... What's the untapper?
Oh, I'm gonna kick myself on this one.
Why am I? I'm looking for it in the. Hold on a second. I'm gonna change my view. Oh, it's the 5-mana 1 untaps all your permanents. It's why can I not remember the
name
of that?
Seedborn Muse.
Seedborn Muse. Yeah, yeah. This deck abuses the shit out of a Seedborn Muse because you just get to like take the best out of everything. God. So, like, one of the hottest tech about this, this deck is really just getting to, like, abuse the shit out of your friend's stuff. Like, what, like, the clone package, we've got a lot of really, really good clones in 2022. And you also want clones that do, like, more than just clone. But like, no, like one of the best things about this deck is really just abusing the shit out of your, like your friends, decks. And that is like the funnest thing that you can possibly like grabbing someone and making them smack themselves with their own hands is honestly like the funniest shit, like in Magic to me. Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah, just taking a look at the list here, there's a lot of really cool stuff you got going on here. A lot of the +1/+1 counters. Like you said, Generous Patron is an amazing card for this deck. And for anyone who's not sure what it does, it's a 1/4 elf advisor. Allows you to support 2 on ETB, and whenever you put 1 or more counters on a creature you don't control, such as Volrath, draw a card. And you just have so many ways to be able to put counters on things. Again, Hapatra will do that. Yawgmoth, Volrath. Just great ways to be able to just... And it just says... And again, it's any counter, too.
Yeah, so, like, it's any counter. So, like, also it works with, like, our one of our board wipes, Black Sun Zenith.
That, too.
Because you... Like, Black Sun Zenith you can actually play as, like... also, something I want to talk about with this thing is diversify your removal. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Black Sun Zenith... is amazing because yes, you can just pay a bunch of mana to it and wipe the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can play it for three and put a neg one counter on everything.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
So you can just be like, oh, I like your commanders. I like your board. I like your, I don't know, Sun Titan. Let me get some of that.
Mm-hmm. And kill any tokens as well that are 1/1s.
Yeah, yeah. Any 1/1s tokens, just get those the fuck out of there. And then yep. So you're like, all right, now I'm going to be able to turn my shit into literally anything. There is one card that I'm missing from this list that is definitely needs to make it, and that's the GOAT, Pathbreaker Ibex.
Okay, yeah.
And, is the Tanuki... Did I not put the Tanuki guy in here yet? No, the Tanuki Transplanter. Ah, yes. No, we need to talk about the Tanuki Transplanter. So this one just came out of fucking... So because Volrath actually, it does some, like, again, stupid shit. Like, they maintain their 7 power no matter what shape they're in.
Okay.
They're always a 7/5. So Tanuki Transplanter, this is a fun little synergy because this one came out of Kamigawa, right?
Yep.
So these are equipment creatures. So that means when you play it, it is a creature. Which means that you can put a neg one counter on and turn Volrath into it. So with the Tanuki Transplanter, you play it for 4, go to combat, you put a neg one counter on it, you then turn Volrath into the Tanuki Transplanter, go to combat, and get 7 green.
Okay.
Because you add green to the equal to the power until end of turn.
Mm-hmm. And you don't lose that through mana burn either, or not mana.
Yeah,
or
you don't lose. Yeah, you lose no mana burn, but also you don't lose it through the steps and phases. So all if you wanted to do something absolutely batshit, because they stack, it also gives the effect when it's an equipment. You for what is it 4 mana, you can turn Volrath into a copy of a Tanuki Transplanter.
Yep.
Then equip the Tanuki Transplanter to Volrath. Copy of Tanuki Transplanter. Attack and get 14 green mana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And then you spend 3 of that to unreconfigure so you can do it all again the next turn. So you basically just get 11 green mana every combat step for 4 mana.
Wow, that is nice synergy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that gives you all the green mana that you're going to be able to need to like go absolutely dog, like, you know, like just insane during the combat step. But the GOAT is not in here. I don't know what I have. Maybe I haven't updated this just as of yet. Pathbreaker Ibex. So whenever it attacks, everything on your board gets its power and trample. So when you turn Volrath into a Pathbreaker Ibex and attack and everything gets +7/+7 and trample, shit gets real fucky.
Okay.
So it's like... Almost a bit like if you have less than 7 creatures, it's almost a better crater hoof. Now when you attack with both the Pathbreaker Ibex and Volrath and get a double trigger and swing for you get a +7 on your first trigger and then a +14 on your next trigger and swing and everything gets a +21/+21, it is way better than well, it's for the most part, unless you got 21 fucking creatures, it's definitely better than crater hoof.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I had a sip. Sire's Great Henge, also a fantastic synergy card in with this deck. Because like it Great Henge has a lot of text on it, but one of the last things that it says is whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you put a 1/1 counter on it.
Mm-hmm.
So also, it costing 7 green-green with Volrath being 7 power means it just costs green-green, and since it taps for green-green, it's essentially basically free.
Yeah, and you are running a butt-ton of non-legendary creatures in this deck, which I think honestly, sort of makes it a little bit different than other clone decks I've seen, where you do run a lot of instant sorcery-based cloning effects, where here you want to make sure you have a bunch of non-token creatures available to be able to cast.
Yeah. Yeah, also, just the clones in general are better than instant and sorcery-based things like Croaking Counterpart and other things. The quality of like what Clever Impersonator does, or Evil Twin does, or Glasspool Mimic does, is just better.
Mm-hmm.
And like as I said, like these clones are very selected. So like going through them, Altered Ego, you can it's like gives you a modal option to pay it for 5 to put a 1/1 counter on it. Means it immediately turns on Volrath Synergy.
Yep.
And like these are also things that you're copying of other people's shit. Clever Impersonator enters the ETBs as any non-land permanent on the battlefield. So Planeswalkers, Commanders, Rhystic Studies, anything, just anything at all. Evil Twin is removal, as well as a clone. So you can have something like someone's commander cloned, have access to their commander, and then every time they try and play their commander, you just kill it.
Okay. I see where that's going.
Because like ETBs, you copy the name of something and it has for blue black tap destroy target creature with this creature's name or with the same name as this creature. So it's just removal. Glasspool Mimic only copies your stuff, but it can also be a land. So like when you're trying to get an on curve Volrath, you can just play it on land as a land. Mirhal Mimic has disturb. So that, like, you say you get board wiped, you can play it out of your graveyard and copy something out and, like, clone something.
Yep.
And also, when you play it out of your upkeep, every time you get a clone. Mirror Maid is artifacts or enchantments, so it's fantastic when it's somebody else's Rhystic Study or Smothering Tithe. Smothering Tithe is always a fun target, but, like, generally, people don't play bad cards in Commander, and this is that deck's one weakness. Is that one, like, I played against a buddy of mine who, like, you know, plays, like, absolute, like, he just loves garbage cards. Like, yeah, I say garbage cards in the most loving way, but he'll play, like, just, like, intentionally bad cards that make him happy. And I can't do shit to him. Like, I just can't. Because I'm like, my deck is completely turned off. Yep. Has nothing good to copy. Mocking Doppelganger, that's a new one that just came out. Flash and Goad. So it's a great way to steal someone's commander and turn it away from you.
Yep.
Also, if the commander dies and goes back to the command zone and then gets replayed again and the Doppelganger is still out there, they're still goaded.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's just like constant, like they have to get rid of the Doppelganger, because if you play the commander, you get a copy of the commander, but they never get to swing at you, and then they're like, other people are like, yeah, no, I'll fucking block that shit, and they're like, oh god. Phantasmal Image, 2-mana clone, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a fucking counter on it because it dies. Other than that,
yep.
2-mana for someone's, I don't know, fucking like their commander, like I don't know, I've like, someone's, like, turboed out, not even turboed out, like, you know, I say turbo out, like, played an Avacyn, and then, like, you know, I Phantasmal Image it for 2, it just, like, it really, it's insulting to them. I kind of like it. Phyrexian Metamorph is a 3, with, Phyrexian mana that, does artifacts and creatures.
Yep.
Again, like, people don't play bad artifacts, and not usually do they play bad creatures, and at least their commanders are good. Sakashima, 1,000 Faces, that's when shit starts to get fucky. Because if you've ever had, like, 4 Achromas on the battlefield at once, things get weird. Or things get violent, at least. Oh, hello, baby. Yeah, because then, also, if you start getting to clone Volrath, mm-hmm. Because say Volrath is a copy of something else, and you can clone Volrath as that copy of something else, it gets around the legendary rule, right?
Yep.
However, that clone retains Volrath's ability. So, like, say Volrath was a consecrated... You say you have a consecrated Sphinx. You then turn Volrath into a consecrated Sphinx. You then play a clone of Volrath consecrated Sphinx. Volrath consecrated... The clone has consecrated Sphinx text and Volrath's last line of text with the one ability.
Wow.
That also happens when you clone Volrath when you make some stuff with, say, like a giant Ataphage or Scoot Swarm.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can have multiple Scoot Swarms with the Volrath abilities, and then things get really, really weird. Like, things get stupid weird.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Yeah. Sakashima the Imposter, just they make copies of legendary things. Sakashima Student, you're able to, like, attack with something and then, like, ninjutsu it out. Like, it most of the time you play it for four, but you can play it for two. Spark Double, four mana, puts a 1/1 counter on something, and it cracks the legendary rule, so you're able to copy some of your Volrath, who's a copy of something else. Stunt Double is Flash. Always the funnest thing in the world is flashing in a copy of someone else's fantastic, awesome creature, and then going to untapping, and then going to combat, like, with it before they do.
Yep.
Big fun. Lots of fun. I people don't generally like that, but Vesuvian Shapeshifter, reusable clone. Basically, that's it. You just get to play it and, like, constantly, like, so you're not like, oh, I wish I had a copy of that. I wish I had a copy of that. Or I wish I could change this to this. Like, Vesuvian, every upkeep, you just change it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Wall of Stolen Identity is also a great little 64-cent card because it ETBs, it clones, and then it frosts something. It taps it down permanently.
Yep.
So, like, you end up with someone taps out for their giant fucking creature, then you're like, okay, clone. I had someone's, was playing against someone and they, played a Chroma. And, like, cool, it's protection from all these kids, protection from, like, you know, all these things. It doesn't have protection from blue. Or, like, any of that nonsense. So not that that would matter, but, like, you know, the Wall Stolen Identity ETBs, and it's just like, okay, you know, I now have your Chroma, and you've got a tap to Chroma. Have fun. But that does remind me about the diversifying your removal. There's a lot of different shit that you will see in a game of Commander, and being able to answer a lot of it is important. And there has been significantly more exile printed in blue recently. Single mm-hmm. target exile. With Resculpt, Reality Shift, and I thought there was another one. So either way, packing, like, exile, destruction, and fucking bounce, super important, because, like, there's so much shit, and you're not gonna counter it. You need to answer it once it gets on the ground after you've used it, because, like, yeah, you're gonna have fun with everybody else's stuff, but they still fucking have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either way, I This deck has been a lot of fun to play into, like, a lot of, like, it's mostly a solid core of cards in this deck. The real fun happens when you start playing it against your friends. That's where this deck really, like, that's where the real fun happens. And, like, starting to abuse other people's creatures and, like, so you can really tune this deck. Like, I have 24 pieces of ramp only because I'm, like, a ramp fanatic. You could probably cut this down by, like, 8 to 9 cards and add in some other stuff and really tailor it to your, like, your metas, or, like, play it with your, like, what you see in your, with your friends group. But, like, yeah, it's been fun going back a little bit, because with all the new commanders that are, like, printed and everything, going back to, like, however long ago it seems now, that, and, like, picking up an old commander and, like, reworking it in new 2020, like 2022, is being, like, a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, It even gets to the point where even running Scheming Symmetry in here as a tutor, and I'm assuming that's because you want someone else to be able to get a card that, that they want on top of their library, right?
I have that in here, yes. God. And Graham.
It's at the very end of the list.
Tutor, Scheming Symmetry. Yeah, I was thinking also putting about putting, what's his tits? Wishclaw. Yeah, no, because, like, there is a casual games don't usually end like right away, and like there's also a lot of things that like you need removed, and like things that are like, oh, I need this, I need that, or like deals and bargains to be made. So you can literally just Scheming Symmetry and be like, look, we need to get rid of this thing. I've got a Scheming Symmetry. Can you go get your a removal card, or can you get a board wipe, or can you go get something? And then, like, yeah, sure, I get that. You pass the turn, and then, like, usually, like, you untap and, like, get the card that you tutored for. But, like, again, this is casual Magic, so it's, like, I'm not, like, ending the game, and there's no, like, two-card combos. Like, I'm usually trying to go get, like, I don't know, something. Like, literally anything that I need. It could be a fucking land for, like it could be, like, Lightning Greaves.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for that same reason, you could literally just go get Wishclaw Talisman, just like get yourself a your Fierce Guardianship and pass it off to someone and be like, go get whatever the fuck you want. It better not be a Cyclonic Rift. Because I have this thing, but go get you can go get whatever you want unless I don't fucking like it. Or if you like, there another one of the funnier things that you can do with that particular deck, with this, I don't have it in here, just yet, because, like, I don't know, I don't want people to fucking try and punch me through the internet. But Wishclawing to go get Op Agent and then giving something to someone else the Wishclaw, and then when they Wishclaw Op Agent them, fucking nice.
Ouch.
Yeah. They're like, oh, here's the Claw. Okay, go for it. All right, okay, cool. I'm going to activate Claw. Okay, cool. Op Agent. And then just watch their, like,
their face just die. Go down.
Just
yeah.
Soul die? Yeah, I know, like, it is one of the better feelings to do that in a game of competitive EDH, but I will do that in casual.
Ouch.
It's like, oh, are you ready to get a board wipe from your deck? Okay, I'll go get it. Like, I'll go get that board wipe from your deck. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see. Anything else? Styrus Signation we got. Great Henge. We got the clones down. Altered Ego. Black Sun. Forgotten. Necro Skitter, that's cool because when things with 1/1 counters on it die, you just straight up get them. You don't like clone them, you just get them.
What?
Yeah, so when a creature an opponent controls the -1/-1 counter on it dies, you may return that card to the battlefield under your control.
Oh man, that's great.
It's a 1/4 with Wither. So you can put a counter on it, turn Volrath into a 7/5 with Wither, and anything it kills, you just immediately get. So like, people are like, oh, I block with this. And you're like, okay, in response, I turn a Necro Skitter. It dies, and I get it. Thanks. Yeah. 35 lands, because this is how I roll in casual while everybody's debating about, like, oh, I don't know if I do that. I was like, I'm out here with, like, 59 sources of ramp and land in my deck.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little extreme, but, like, I absolutely despise getting fucking screwed. Protection, Lightning Grease, Ramp, yeah. No, I think we've got everything right down to, we've gone through the entire deck. The thing about this deck is it's one of those, like, play it in the wild. Go mess around with other people's stuff. Enjoy multiple copies of other people's commanders. It is, quite nonsense.
Yeah, this seems like a really fun deck to play. So yeah.
Meant to be fun and ever changing. It's like, it like the back, like the deck might stay the same, but the play pattern is completely different. Like depends on who's at the table, because like all of a sudden I'm playing an Octavia deck against an Octavia deck, and like every instant and sorcery I cast turn gives everything base power 8/8, and like, okay, so that's how I'm playing now.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's got Ward 8. I don't know. Like, I'll pay fucking 8 mana, put a counter on it, and like, all right, let's see what kind of nonsense I can do with this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting because, like you just said, this deck runs completely differently depending on what you're running it into. So you're never really going to have you have the same cards, but not the same play pattern. I think that's really what the main takeaway is here, is that you're
Which
going
is
to
why
get
the
that
deck
variance.
Is like, it seems like it's all just ramp, card draw, and removal. It's like, yes, that's basically all it is. It's just ramp, card draw, removal, clones, and whatever the fuck your opponent is playing.
Yep.
So, like, I've been having, like, a ton of fun running against my friend's Giada deck. I was, like, a bunch of ridiculousness, like, playing against my friend's Marchesa deck, because a 7-5 Marchesa is hilarious. If you're fucking opponents are on like any kind of broken ass commander, it's just like, okay, have fun.
Yep. All right, yeah, this is a really cool list. I will be posting the description to this, or I will be posting the link, excuse me, in the description for the episode. So anyway, Nathan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about this deck. This is really cool. And yeah, hopefully the listeners out there also think this is a really awesome list to take a look at and maybe draw some inspiration from.
Hopefully you like it.
All right. If you liked this episode and you want to listen to more awesome episodes, either with Nathan on them or just in general, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. Those are your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I never remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find it on there. You can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. I'm going to use this opportunity again and give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgquarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, Geek Beardly, and Scoop Phase for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.